20 years old and was saved. I went from the baptismal tank to college. There were two phrases in the Bible that really got to me. The first one was, we went to church and someone said, "Give God the glory." And I thought to myself, why? Doesn't he have enough of it already? He needs mine? You see, still in my earthly thinking, it was kind of like this. Some 10-year-old comes up to me and says, "Give me your glory." I said, "Get lost, kid, before I slap you alongside the head. I'm not giving you anything. It's mine." But if Kali Muscle came up and said, "Give me your glory." Do you know who Kali Muscle is? Well, you ever watch the Geico commercial on TV and the big African-Americans directing traffic? That's Kali Muscle. If he came up and said, "Give me your glory," I'd say, "Yes, sir, where would you like it?" Because it has to do with power. You see, we are power-oriented in the society. The strongest takes what they want, the weakest give. But that isn't God. That is the opponent to God. But in my thinking, I was saying, well, okay, based on that, if God says, "Give me the glory," I should give it to him because look at the power he has. But he's not after it because of his power. If the devil can't keep people from understanding there is a God, he certainly wants to keep them from becoming acquainted with him. The devil really doesn't care how much you come to church. That doesn't bother him at all. In fact, it doesn't bother him too much that you even sit down and read your Bible occasionally, as long as you don't do it too often. That's why he always puts thoughts in your mind, "Oh, I've got to watch the football game. I've got to watch this my favorite program on TV tonight." Because if you spend 5 minutes in your Bible and 20 hours in front of the TV, you're not going to grow much in grace. So he is about keeping us from God. But there's one thing the devil hates and he cowers from. You know what that is? When you kneel down and pray. Because that's when you and God have a two-way conversation. It's not just, "God, I'm speaking. I hope you're hearing somewhere up there." If your heart is in tune with God, all these wonderful messages that Pastor Hong's been giving week after week, how to get close to God. In the first place, why wouldn't you want to be close to God? It's happiness to be close to God. And when you're sick, when you're ill, when you have problems with your happiness, you don't mind what's happening to you physically, because our peace comes from within, not from without. As Pastor Hong said the other day. There's another phrase that got to me. And actually, you find it in Psalms 111 and verse 10. Quite a wonderful psalm. A little harder to do it with one hand, I see. The fear of the Lord is the what? Beginning of wisdom. I thought to myself, why do I want to serve a God that I've got to be afraid of? See, English is a very poor language to read when you want to read about what God is telling you. In the first place, you don't have the different varieties of words as you do in some other languages. And when we think of fear, we think of fear. And I, in my earthly thinking, thought, why should I fear God? If I'm afraid of him, why would I want to serve him? I don't want that. I want to have a good time in my life. So what is the fear of the Lord? You read it all through the Bible, the fear of the Lord. But this says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So there must be something good in it. And if you search the scriptures, as the prophet Isaiah says to do, here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept, you come up with the answer. And the answer is in Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 13. The fear of the Lord is what? To hate evil. Now, you see, that puts, and then this is pride and arrogance and the way of evil and perverted speech I hate. Now, if you understand those two coupled together, if you hate evil, whose side are you on? You're on God's side. And if you're on God's side, you are not fearing anything, because God is what, the Bible says? God is love. In him there is no evil thing, not even a thought. God is love. So if you are serving God and you hate evil, then you're in a state of love. If God is love and you are in a state of love, then you are what? One with God. Is that not so? That's a logical conclusion. You say, but Pastor, I've got so many problems in my life. I don't want to do bad things, but I do them anyway. Yes, because we're sinners. And that's why God had to come and die for us, because we can't do anything on our own. We think we can do wonderful things with our life. We can be so brilliant. We can be so clever. We can be so educated. We can be so rich. We can have loads of talent. But if you don't have God, you're just as likely to hang yourself with your own belt. You see, there is no peace in your heart without God. We strive to attain it by all various kinds of means in our life. We try to put death out of our mind. Maybe I'm going to die someday, but long time from now. Meanwhile, I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry. But you see, there's no peace. There's no happiness. There's a false happiness, a facade, but it's not real. I come to this church because I know God is here. How do I know God is here? Because I know God is in your hearts. Because God is in my heart and my spirit blends with your spirit, and I feel peace when I greet you and talk to you. I know you're striving to be like Jesus. And it's a lifetime battle. We can't do anything on our own. We can't get anywhere by good works, as Pastor Hung said. But we can get everywhere by letting God do good works through us. I ask every morning, God, please shine through me so nobody sees me. I want to be just a vessel that you go through me to others and show your love and not anything else. 1 John 3:2 is interesting. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him because we shall see him as he is. Can you see God as he is if you're not like him? No, you'll be destroyed. Moses was able to see God because he was totally God's, and he went up into the mountain. But when he came down, the Israelites hid from Moses because they were afraid of the glory that was shining out of him. But the Bible says that when Jesus comes, we are going to be like him. That does not mean we're going to have an instant transformation of our character. The Bible does not say that we can live in our sins and all of a sudden when Jesus comes, oh, hallelujah, he changes me to be like him. If that was possible, then why would he have to die in the first place? Why isn't he going to allow Lucifer, Satan, back to heaven? You see, we become like him because we let him shine through us. And our conversations with God every day changes. He says, uh-oh, that's not good what you're thinking or what you're doing. And it gets through to us. We don't want to do that anymore. That's not living by works. That's living by grace. And Paul says, because you're under grace, that doesn't mean that you can keep on doing the things that you always have done. And why would we want to do that? Who would want to live in a heaven that's going to be like this earth? Not me. Let's turn to the book of Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16 and on. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary or at odds to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are, list, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, licentiousness, idolatry. Idolatry can be in many forms. Your job could be your idol. Many things could be your idol besides God. That's why God says, don't have any other idols before me. Sorcery, that's people, witchcraft. I know people read their horoscope every day in the newspaper or online. Meaningless, but they do it anyway. Hatred. Do you hate anybody? Contentions. Oh, I just got to have it my way. Jealousies, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissensions and heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as also I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. You see, it is impossible for us to go to heaven and be like we are as sinners. If it weren't impossible, then Jesus, as I said, wouldn't have had to come. And the scripture that says, many are called, but few are chosen, that's a very poor translation in English. It really says, everyone's called. Jesus has provided for everyone, no matter whether their color, their religion. God loves every member of ISIS that's over killing Christians as much as he loves you and I. He doesn't love what they're doing. But everyone, God has made provision for every human being that's ever lived to be saved. Few are chosen. Why? Because few choose to be saved. So then, as we continue this list, The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. It's what we become automatically over time as we follow Jesus. Because as he comes in, he forces the devil out. All our old thinking, all our old ways is gone. And we become more like Jesus. Then we become, from a little candle, a burning light, brighter and brighter and brighter. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit and not become conceited, provoking one another or envying one another. That is a marvelous text. It also points the finger at each one of us, because we all have moments of pridefulness and selfishness, and the old man of sin pops up. Maybe a word comes out that shouldn't come out, and it comes out before you even think about it. That's part of being a sinner. And don't be discouraged by that, dear heart, because all you need to do is the God in you will say, that wasn't nice. Lord, forgive me. I'm sorry. I don't even know where that word came from. I don't know where that thought came from. But forgive me. And then peace comes back. I know you've experienced it, because that's what growing in grace is. If you haven't experienced it, then you're not in a state of salvation. And so we look to God. In fact, 1 John 4:8 says what I've been talking about. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. Such a love we'll spend eternity studying. We have no concept in this finite mind of what God is. But he's love. So what is this glory that we give to God? Give glory to God. You know what the glory is that we give to God when we say give glory to God? It's yourself. You are God's glory. Isn't that an eye-opener? Me? Yes. Each one of us who love God and are serving God and striving to be like God, we are his glory, because every time another sinner comes to become a saint, it proves that God is right and Lucifer, the devil, is wrong. And we're the glory of God. So when you say, give God the glory, you're saying, Lord, I give you myself. And that's what God wants. All of you. 100%. And when Jesus was on the cross, he did an amazing thing that we don't grasp, but it's in this song. I'm not on an ego trip, I'm nothing on my own. I make mistakes, sometimes slip, just common flesh and bones. But I'll prove someday just why I say I'm of a special kind. For when he was
was on the cross. I was on his mind. The look of love was on his face. The thorns were on his head. Blood was on his scarlet robe, stained a crimson red. Though his eyes were on the crowd that day, he looked ahead in time. For when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. For he knew me, yet he loved me. He whose glory makes the heavens and shine. So unworthy of such mercy, yet when he was on the cross, I was on. Yet when he was on the cross, I was on his mind.
Yes, I was on his mind. You see, the point of the cross is God wasn't just up there dying for something that he knew was good for a bunch of people down through time. It wasn't an abstract that he was dying for. You see, we don't understand God's power. He looked ahead in time. And while he was on that cross, he saw you and you, each one of you personally. And he said, for that person, I'm willing to die. You see, that's the glory of God. He gave everything. Even the possibility that he would no longer be God if he failed. But he did it because he saw you and me. And he said, it's all worth it. The God whose glory makes the heavens shine, the God who, and this few planets and stars I showed you, there's hundreds of billions of solar systems and galaxies. So it's no end to it. Can we understand it? No. Do I believe it? With all my heart. Why? Because God has shown me inside my own mind and heart that he is there for me and he loves me. So many things he's done for me and taken away my sorrow and my heartache. And every time I sin against him, I just feel so terrible. Because I'd rather die than sin. And God sometimes has to say to me, it's okay, I'm not finished with you yet. And he's not finished with any of you. But be faithful. Because God is coming for you. And then our joy will really be something. May God bless you this morning.